Please turn to Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 42 is the psalm of instruction. Notice the title of this psalm is To the Chief Musician, Maskil, for the Sons of Korah. This title is prefixed to 11 different psalms. The word Maskil properly means given instruction, to make wise, or to direct wisely, to be made wise. The instruction is for the sons of Korah, but we will find that there's a boatload of instruction in this chapter for us. Korah was the Levite who headed the insurrection against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Korah were the surviving descendants of that miserable man who, together with 250 other rebels, perished when the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. If you think that God is just a God of love and he's not a God of justice and holiness, of righteousness, you need to read the scripture a little closer. These descendants of Korah had taken the warning given and departed from the tents of these wicked men. In doing so, they were spared of judgment and were the Levitical family of singers. Nothing then could be more appropriate than the dedication of a sacred psalm to these very people. That being said, it is believed that this psalm was written by David when he was fleeing from Absalom. It's a song of a broken, discouraged man struggling with depression and has a thirst for God in his life. It is a great psalm to read when you are discouraged or down in the dumps. As we go through the chapter, we'll see different things that the Lord uses in our lives to create a thirst for him. Do you yearn for the Lord in your life? Do you have a thirst or a craving for him? Unfortunately, many Christians don't. And they wonder why they don't feel close to the Lord. They wonder why they feel numb and powerless and spiritually cold, apathetic and empty, or even tempted to quit and to give up on living for God. These attitudes are the consequences from losing your thirst for God in your life. Am I speaking to you today? A passion or thirst for God is the flame which keeps our hearts burning and on fire for him. A thirst for God keeps us focused on him, for the living water, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Only he alone can satisfy our soul. A thirst for God keeps us dependent upon him. It's when we become independent of the Lord that we get ourselves into trouble. We think that other things can fill and quench the thirst of our lives, only to find out later that we were wrong. A thirst for God keeps us at his feet, pleading for his power to serve, for patience to endure, for persistence when we fail, for purity when we are tempted, and for purpose when we are pulled by distractions or discouragement. This chapter before us gives us insights on the different things that the Lord can use to create a thirst for him in our lives. We will see that the Lord uses both pleasant and unpleasant things to create a thirst for him. The Lord loves us too much to let us continue on in our rebellion. Notice that David does not mention hunger in our text, but thirst. My soul thirst for God. Men can go several weeks without food, but we need water daily. Without water, we will quickly weaken and die. The same truth holds in our relationship with God. We need His fellowship and closeness daily, lest we weaken and fall apart spiritually. You cannot live the Christian life without Him. Jesus made this clear in John 15. The Lord told us, without me, you can do nothing. David describes his thirst for God by using the panting of a deer as an illustration. The heart is a female deer, gazelle. It is not only fond of feeding near some water for the benefit of drinking, but when it is hunted down and its strength is nearly spent, it'll take to a river in which it'll stay as long as its breath will suffer. Understand that when a heart is spent and tired, the deer's last refuge from predators is in the water. In fact, that deer will descend down the stream and swim in the very midst of it. The deer will be careful not to touch limbs or twigs that grow on the sides of the river, lest the dogs or the lions pick up his scent. The heart will even lie under the water, all but its very nose to hide from its attackers. The deer craves or pants for the water to quench its thirst and to find refuge. The word pant means to long, to crave. It's applied to the animals of the field that cry out to God in times of drought. Are you crying out today? Are you in a drought spiritually? The word properly means to rise, to ascend, to look up toward anything. That's what the word panted means. It refers here to the intense desire of the deer for water in the heat of day, or in the book of Joel, to the desire of the cattle for water in time of drought. Nothing could more beautifully or appropriately describe the earnest longing of a gentle soul after God than this image. Do you have a thirst or a longing for a close walk with the living God? Do you lift up your heart and cry out to Him? May we learn from David's example. Oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsted for Thee. My flesh longs for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. Does this describe you, brothers and sisters? I stretch forth my hands unto Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not Thy face from Thee, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Hear me speedily, my soul thirst after Thee as a thirsty land. Let us look at some causes for our thirst. We've come to the place, okay, you're thirsty. Let us start in this message and the following message to look at some causes for our thirst. We've admitted, yes, Lord, we are thirsty. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 42:2. During World War II, native labor had to be used in Panama to build certain vital projects. But the schedules were always behind because the natives refused to work more than a few days a week. That was all the wages they needed for their wants. Why should they work anymore? Arguments and pleas were useless. Finally, the American commander changed tactics. He imported a supply of Sears and Roebuck catalogs and saw to it that his workers received them. The absentee problem vanished immediately. The natives had acquired wants and were willing to work for their fulfillment. The commander used the wants or desires of the workers to motivate them. He created a yearning in their life for things they did not have but could have. They didn't even know existed. Sears and Roebuck basically had everything you could even buy a house. A house to build through the old Sears and Roebuck catalog. Anything in the West that you could imagine, Sears and Roebuck sold. So the commander orders the books, and now all of a sudden, the native Panamanians, all of a sudden, their wants were there, their desires were there for these simple material things. How much more for spiritual things? God will use our wants to create a desire for him. If you're not thirsty, he's going to make you thirsty. I'm speaking specifically about the emotional and spiritual wants and our heart that he can only satisfy. Only he can supply the emotional and spiritual wants that we have, brothers and sisters. As I mentioned, this psalm was David. He's on the run about David. He's on the run from Absalom. He had to flee the land. He's unable to worship the Lord in Jerusalem. His lack of closeness with the Lord makes him thirsty. He didn't seek ease. Honor he didn't covet. But he missed the enjoyment of communion and closeness and fellowship with God and public worship in Jerusalem. And it was an urgent need of his soul. He viewed it not merely as the sweetest of all luxuries, but as an absolute necessity. Like water to a deer, he must have his time with God. We must be close to the Lord, or we too will faint. Neglecting the living water will leave us spiritually parched. Thank God we don't have to go to Jerusalem to be close to the Lord or worship him. To the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can walk with God each day, even through the fires of life that we may face. He can quench the thirst in our soul. Such was the case of Luther Bridges. Luther Bridges began preaching at age 17 while he was a student in Asbury College in Kentucky. He was a young Methodist minister of unusual zeal and evangelism. In 1910, the future looked bright for the 26-year-old preacher, who by then had a young wife and three children. The Bridges family was visiting Mrs. Bridges' parents at their home in Kentucky. After the family retired for the night, a neighbor noticed flames coming from the house. He roused Mrs. Bridges' parents and Luther, but the rest of the family members were beyond reach. This young pastor lost his wife and children in the flames. In the awful days of sorrow and grief that followed, Luther remembered that God offered songs of comfort in the night and would never forsake him. He would quench the thirst in his aching heart and soul. In the darkest night, in the depths of despair, God gave an inward song to Luther Bridges that has blessed millions for almost a century now. Out of a pit of grief came a song of blessing, revealing the heart of a man thirsty for God and truly satisfied by the Savior. The words from his pen continued to fill churches around the world today. The words of the song, "In the Shadow of Death," go like this: "There's within my heart a melody Jesus whispers sweet and low, "Fear not, I am with thee. Peace, be still." And all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads me through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. John 7, 37b, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink." Brothers and sisters, filling your life with substitutes for the Lord will leave you weak and lean. When God's people wandered in the wilderness, they had spiritually cooled off, and they were bent on doing their own thing instead of God's will. When the genuine born-again Christian is not close to the Lord, he or she will eventually begin to thirst. Stop praying and walking with God, you're going to get thirsty. Stop reading and obeying the Word of God, you will get thirsty. Live in sin, you'll get thirsty. Stop going to church, missing out on the singing and preaching and fellowshipping and devotion to the apostles' doctrine, and you will get thirsty. Worship of God is very, very important. And on the flip side of that is, if you don't get thirsty, or if you don't care about spiritual matters, then it's very possible you may never have been saved. The Holy Spirit will bug you if you neglect these important activities of your life as a believer. If you're not bothered, or you don't feel convicted or guilty about your neglect of these spiritual activities, you may have never been born again. It is the Lord that puts, the Lord himself puts a desire in the believer for the things of God. Paul urged us to examine our lives to make sure we have truly been born again. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. That's 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Paul is commanding us, examine yourself, that Jesus is in you, or he's not. Charles Spurgeon said, "When a man pants after God, it is a secret life within which makes him do that. He would not long after God by nature. In our unconverted state, brothers and sisters, we don't seek after God." The scripture says very clearly in Romans 3, there's none who seek after God. When we are seeking God, it's because God has done a work there, a secret work. No man thirsts for God while he's in his carnal state. The unrenewed man pants after anything sooner than God Almighty. The unconverted only seeks after this world, the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's it. That's all they seek after in some way, shape, or form. Seeking after God comes from God. He grants repentance and faith. Then we repent of our sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're saved because God does the work there. And then he comes and he dwells inside you. Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in you. And if you're neglecting all the means of grace that I mentioned throughout, you will be thirsty. Christ will cause you to thirst. You will think that you are in a desert somewhere, looking, pleading, crying out, or as the deer panted for the water. Are you panting for the living water today? Come to Christ. Turn around, repent, come back to Christ.